Columbia brings you Romance. Tonight, a lady in love, the story of a small-town girl who is forced to choose between two kinds of love. And here is Frank Gallup to set the stage for tonight's tale of romance.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Romance. Once again, we're ready to guide you through the pages of a most unusual love story. Tonight, we bring you Marion Shockley as Linda Brown, the lady who is loved by two men. Blaine Cordner as Clem Richards, one of the handsomest men in her life. And Bill Quinn as the happy-go-lucky Johnny Day. A Lady in Love was adapted by Gene Holloway from the McCall's Magazine story by Eleanor Tighe. Romance is where you find it. And if you find it in a small town, as Linda Brown did, you must expect it to be scrutinized and talked about. For such is the way of small towns. As Linda Brown discovered when she came to the town of Brookfield, she came there to direct the recreational center and to take care of any other little item the local citizenry might desire to classify as recreation. She was lonely and friendless. So when she met Clem Richards, well, things began to happen. Things that she herself didn't altogether understand.
Hey, look at that water down there. Doesn't that look wonderful? If I wasn't so starved, I'd dive in right now. What do you say we eat?
Silly, we just got here. You aren't supposed to eat your picnic lunch at 10:30.
Yeah, but I'm hungry. Couldn't I have just one small piece of chicken, Linda?
Not a scrap till lunchtime.
Well, lunch is hours away. Well, there won't be anything left of me by then. What kind of a girl are you to bring on a picnic anyhow?
You tell me.
All right, I will. You're the right kind. The only kind.
Linda, I'm afraid I'm falling terribly in love with you. Do you mind?
Please, Clem, I wish you hadn't said that. I hardly know you. I hardly know myself in these new surroundings. Everything's so new and so strange.
But you'll get used to it, Linda. In no time at all, you love Brookfield and you love me.
You seem awfully sure of yourself.
No, I'm not really. But I can tell you this. Give me half a chance and I'll sweep you off your feet. I'll take you to dances, parties, picnics, movies, dinners, more parties, more dances. You dance like something out of my dreams. You know this song, Linda?
You beneath the moon
and under the sun. Da 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 dee, dee, da. In the silence of my lonely room, I think of you night and day. That's my song for you, Linda.
Clem, don't hold me so close. People are looking at us.
Well, I don't care. Do you?
Yes, a little. I don't think it's any of people's business how we feel. I don't think we should make a display of our emotions.
Oh, darling, you're so old-fashioned. What do people matter? I can't possibly hold you in my arms and pretend that I'm not in love with you. If that's what you want, we'd better stop dancing. Want to stop, Linda?
I don't know. I'm so confused. All I know is that I don't want to be lonely again. I don't want to be all by myself as I was when I first came to Brookfield. If that's the alternative, I never want to stop dancing with you, Clem. I don't want to stop ever.
Well, Linda, if you're not a sight for sore eyes, sitting there on your front porch in a white dress on a Sunday morning...
I've been to church. I'll bet that's more than you can say.
It is indeed. You know why I came over this morning?
Is it because you've been coming over here every Sunday morning for the past 2 months?
Precisely. I'm a creature of habit, and you're getting to be a habit with me, Linda.
Bad or good?
Ah, I'll never tell you. Want you to worry about it.
Oh, Linda, I love you so much. So doggone much, I can't stand to be away from you even for a minute. Once more, Linda, will you marry me?
Marry you, Clem? I wish you hadn't asked me that again. You've been so faithful, a wonderful friend. So wonderful, in fact, that I can't just keep putting you off. Have to give you an answer.
Yes, Linda?
You've been so sweet, Clem. Yes, I'll marry you.
Oh, Linda.
Please, Clem. Just a minute until Mrs. Patterson has gone by.
Clem! Clem Richards! You're wanted down at the newspaper office right away.
Well, thank you, Miss Patterson. I'll go right down. I'm sorry I have to go, Linda. I'll be back as soon as I can.
All right.
So long.
Won't you come up and sit down, Mrs. Patterson?
I think not, Linda. Good day.
Mrs. Patterson, just a moment. You and I used to be fairly good friends. But you've changed. Why? Have I done anything to offend you?
I'm afraid I could never be very friendly with any woman who chose to run around with a married man, Miss Brown.
A married man? What are you talking about?
You must know Clem Richards is married. It's common knowledge in town. Why, he has a child, a little boy.
Clem? Married? Why, he never told me. Oh, it can't be true.
Ask anyone in town. Ask anyone in town.
Well, Clem?
Well, what can I say, Linda? It's true. I am married.
Why didn't you tell me?
I don't know. At first, it wasn't important. Then, when it was important, I meant to tell you, but I kept putting it off one more day. I kept thinking, well, we'll have just one more day, and then I'll tell her. We were having such fun, Linda.
Fun? How could you possibly have been having fun living a lie, making me live a lie, too?
Well, maybe fun isn't the right word. Maybe what I meant to say is, we were living such beautiful, untouched days that I wanted to keep the world shut out just a little longer.
I feel so cheap, so humiliated, running around with a married man. I've never done things like that. I despise you for tricking me into it.
I love you, Linda.
You couldn't love me and do this to me.
Linda, you're old enough to know that we don't always do the wise thing, the right thing. Sometimes if we want a thing badly enough, we'll do anything to get it. Lie, steal, cheat, Linda. In my case, I did none of those things because morally I'm free, though technically I'm not. You see, Linda, my wife and I are separated. We have been for years. We have a son, Dickie. He's at school at Salisbury. I go to see him once a week. It was because of him that Doris and I decided not to get a divorce until one or the other wanted to marry again.
Have you asked her for a divorce?
I wrote her last week. Oh, please see this through with me, darling. In all my life, I've never felt about anyone the way I feel about you. I'll try very hard to make you happy. I think I could, Linda. Well?
I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, it's up to you, Linda. If you want it that way, I'll walk out of this room and out of your life. And I'll never try in any way to see you again. You're so quiet. What are you thinking, Linda?
I was thinking how lonely I'd be without you.
Oh, my darling. My darling.
It can't be wrong. Not when everything's over between you and your wife anyhow. Oh, Clem, I don't suppose right now I'm a good judge of what is right or wrong. I only know that without you, there's nothing.
It's not going to be easy for you, Linda. People are talking now. They'll talk more.
I'll try not to care about people. I won't let myself think about it. Maybe they'll get tired of talking about us and leave us alone.
I tell you, I saw Clem Richards and Linda Brown over in Baltimore last week, walking around bold as brass, holding hands. I think she ought to be set straight on a few things. After all, she's teaching in a nursery school, isn't she?
Now, John, the town council will be voting on Miss Brown's contract in a few weeks, and I want you to see that it isn't renewed. No girl can run around with a married man the way she's been doing and get away with it. It's time she found that out.
Well, I, for one, think that all of us should cut her dead when we meet her on the street. She isn't fit for decent people to associate with. The sooner we get her out of town, the better off we'll be.
Hello, Linda. Where are you going?
Oh, hello, Clem. I was just on my way into the antique shop.
Well, stop and talk to me for a minute, will you?
Well, what's new?
Clem, did you know the mayor told me that four of the trustees have refused to sign my contract for next year? They're trying to take my job away from me.
Oh, please, Linda, don't take it all so seriously. The contract will go through all right. Where else will they get anyone to work as hard as you've worked?
I'm afraid they've reached the point where they aren't interested in how hard I've worked.
Well, I'm fed up with this town. You and I worked darn hard for it, and what do we get? A nice big kick in the teeth.
You look tired, Clem.
Are you tired?
A little.
You know what's wrong with us? We're not having any fun.
We'll have fun again.
I wonder. You want to call it quits, Linda?
Whatever made you say a thing like that? Is it beginning to get you two?
No, it's not that. But we've had such a punk time of it lately. Oh, darling, give me your hand. Let's not let the town get us down. We'll work our lives out in spite of them.
Hi, Clem.
Hello, Johnny.
Who was that just went inside the antique shop?
Johnny Day. He's Mrs. Patterson's son. The offspring of a very romantic first marriage. He's the apple of her eye.
Does he live in Brookfield?
Sure. Been in the Air Force. Just got sent home with a game leg. That's why you haven't seen him around. Well, I have a story to track down for the newspapers. Want to come along?
Not tonight, Clem. Think I'll browse around the antique shop a little and then turn in early.
Okay. Good night, sweet.
Good night, Clem.
I beg your pardon?
Yes?
That pickle jar you're holding, are you interested in it?
I might ask you the same question about the one you're holding.
Well, then I should have to answer yes. And no, because I'm not yet prepared to commit myself.
Oh.
You must be new around here. You go very well with the scenery, I might say. You haven't any stockings on. Aren't you afraid of catching cold?
I have on liquid stockings because of the war. If it weren't for the war, I can assure you I'd have on the regulation variety. And I don't see that it's any of your business.
I beg your pardon. My interest was prompted primarily by the pickle jar. Then you turned around and I was sort of carried away. Do you believe in love at first sight?
I've heard that it happens.
What would you say if I said I'd just fallen in love with you?
I'd say good night.
Then I won't say it. I'll keep it a secret for the time being. Are you going to buy that pickle jar or may I?
I certainly am.
Well, all right. Buy it if you want it. But have you stopped to consider that probably in 100 years this pair has never been separated? They're mates. Doesn't even that make you pause?
No. Should it?
Well, you certainly have a few things to learn about romance. Have you a heart?
I used to have.
Where's now?
I didn't watch it carefully enough. It got away from me.
You know, I think I'll do a little hunting around for that heart. It's the kind of treasure hunt that's mighty appealing. All right, Missy, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll each take a pickle jar and promise to see that they get together now and then. Say, every other evening and over the weekend?
Oh, I'm afraid I couldn't do that.
Well, why not? Are you married or something?
No. I guess I'd better tell you who I am. The name is Linda Brown.
Oh, mine's Johnny Day. I'm glad to know you, Linda. I wish you'd reconsider that little proposition of mine.
Look, Johnny Day, maybe you haven't been back long enough to know that I'm considered the town's bad girl. Your mother would never approve of you seeing me.
I'm a little past the age when one says, Mother, may I see Linda Brown tonight?
I seem to remember an old saying about mother knows best.
My mother has always particularly admired my taste in girls, as a matter of fact. And well, she should. They've always been the nicest girls in town. I have an eye and a heart for them, Linda Brown. And right now, my eyes and my heart belong to you. And even Clem Richards isn't going to change it. You'll get over Clem Richards. He's a phase that all the girls in Brookfield have gone through. You've just been having yourself a set of growing pains.
Well, for someone who didn't know anything about me, you suddenly seem to know a lot.
I intend to know more. Come on, Linda Brown. Break down and be happy.
What's there to be happy about?
Being alive, finding two pickle jars like these, meeting you, having a date with you tomorrow night. My pickle jar and I do have a date with your pickle jar and you tomorrow night. Don't we, Linda Brown?
You'll find us at the Elm Tree Gardens, Mr. Day, duly polished and waiting at 7 o'clock.
Hello? Oh, Clem, how have you been lately? Country club dance tonight? Oh, I'm sorry, but I've already promised Johnny. Well, he can't dance much with his leg the way it is, but he can dance some. Sorry I can't make it, Clem.
Why so thoughtful, Miss B?
The music, I guess. I used to be very fond of this piece.
Aren't you still?
Evidently not. I don't seem to have any reaction at all.
Hello, Johnny.
Oh, hi, Clem.
Isn't this our dance, Linda?
I'm afraid this is Johnny's, Clem.
Sorry. My mistake.
You'll excuse us?
Oh, of course. Don't mind.
You know, I don't think he likes me. I hope he doesn't. I consider that a very good sign.
Of what, Johnny?
Of tides and human events in the progress of civilization. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you would. You know, you're beginning to be a very smart girl, Linda Brown. And I approve of that.
Hello? Oh, Clem. No, I'm sorry I couldn't make it tonight. Johnny and I are going to take a ride in a pony cart. Maybe tomorrow night, Clem. All right, you phone. Well, you certainly don't have to be so huffy about it. I'm not going to break a date just because you call up at the last minute.
Don't look now, Linda Brown, but there's a star in your hair.
You have two in your eyes.
Mm. That's from looking at you.
Do you think the pony's getting tired? I sort of feel as though we ought to get out and pull him for a while.
Linda, I wish you'd tell me something. Is it still Clem Richards or no one with you? Or would you rather I didn't ask that question right now?
You haven't given me much time to see Clem the last few weeks. Between you and my work, I've been pretty busy. You know, I've even forgotten to worry about whether my contract was going to be renewed or not.
There are a lot of things I want to say to you, Linda. It's hard not to say them because they're so important. And yet, I don't want to say them too soon and lose everything.
You're so sweet, Johnny.
That's all you ever say to me. And that isn't what I'm waiting to hear.
What is it you want me to say?
I'll never tell you that. I hope someday you'll know it and say it. But if you don't, I'll never tell you.
This is quite a treat, an evening with you. Nice of Johnny to spare you. Or was he tied up or something?
Oh, Clem, let's not quarrel. Every time I see you, you start an argument.
All right, I'm jealous. You don't deny that you've been spending a lot of time with Johnny Day.
Well, it was one way of keeping the town from talking about us.
Is that why you've been seeing so much of him? Is it?
No, that's not the reason. I enjoy being with him.
You're playing with fire, you know. You'll never reconcile old Lady Patterson to renewing your contract by going after her one and only son. You'll never get your contract signed that way. That's suicide.
I don't see why Johnny Day and I can't be friends. He's not married, is he?
What does that have to do with it?
I thought that was the point.
Oh, let's not argue, Linda. I came here to tell you that my wife has gone to Reno to get a divorce. In a few weeks, I'll be free, too.
I see.
Well, you don't seem exactly overjoyed.
Clem, I don't know what to say. When I first came to Brookfield, I was lonesome. And you were very gracious to me. But I don't think I ever really thought I was in love with you.
Is it Johnny Day?
Yes, Clem. I'm in love with Johnny. Johnny and I can start out together building something new and clean and out in the open where everyone can know about it. There doesn't have to be anything secret or second-hand about it.
And you think that what I'm offering you is second-hand, eh?
For me, it's second-hand, Clem. There's nothing that's new to you, particularly love. You say all the right things a little too well, if you know what I mean. Maybe for someone else, that's all right. But I have to be able to respect and like the man I marry, as well as love him.
So now you think you'll marry Johnny Day. Well, Linda, I think you've got another thing coming. Has Johnny Day asked you to marry him?
No. Maybe he won't. But that doesn't change anything.
Well, I'll bet my bottom dollar that he won't. His old lady's too smart and too proud to have her pride and joy marry anyone of your reputation.
I probably deserve that for allowing you to make my reputation for me, Clem. Now, will you please go?
Okay, Linda. When you get lonesome, let me know. I might still be around.
Hey, Miss Brown.
Johnny. What are you doing out here in front of the center at 10 o'clock at night?
I've been waiting to walk you home. All right.
Why, it looks like rain. Sky's overcast.
You walk like you're tired. What kept you?
Oh, I had some thinking to do.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to play a game as we walk along?
Let's not play any games, Johnny. Someone always gets hurt.
Not you this time, Linda. I'll see to that. You'll like the kind of games I play.
I like that kiss, Johnny. You've never kissed me before.
I just never dared. But I'm very brave tonight.
Johnny.
Hmm?
You said once that someday there might be something I'd want to tell you. Well, now there is. I don't know why it should be so hard to say, but it is.
Do you love me, Linda? Is that it?
Yes, Johnny. That's it.
Oh, darling, I've waited so long.
Good heavens, what a storm. We'd better get along.
Here, take my arm. Do you know Linda Brown? I guess there's half a dozen pictures I have of you that you don't even know about.
The rain feels wonderful on your face, doesn't it? I've always wanted to walk in it like this. What are the pictures, Johnny?
Well, in one of them, you're standing in the doorway in something pink, waving me off to work. And one is you in something deep and blue sitting beside me looking into a fire. And one, oh, I blush to say, is you with a smudge on your nose scolding five little girls of assorted sizes that look a little like me and a lot like you. I have one or two others, but I'll keep them to myself for the time being. Well, what do you think of my pictures?
Well, I blush to say I'd love to pose for them.
Well, here's the inn. You're home, darling.
Will you come in?
No, I'd better get home and get dry. I'll phone you tomorrow, Linda. I'll meet you about 2:15 on the park bench under General Pershing.
I'll be there, Johnny. Twice. Once at 2:15 and once in my dream. Good night.
Good night.
Any messages for me?
None at all, Miss Brown.
Oh.
Oh, I almost forgot. There's someone waiting to see you in the morning room.
Oh?
It's the mayor.
Oh. Good evening, Mr. Warren.
Hello, Linda. I came in to talk to you about the job. I think it's going to be all right for the renewal. Your running around with Johnny Day seemed to fix everything up. You know, folks like Johnny, and they figure a girl can make a mistake, especially if she's young and pretty.
I made a bad one. You know, my father once told me a very wise thing. He said it was not only important to be a lady, you had to look like one as well.
You look a little tired, Linda. Maybe you should take a week or two off and get some rest. That would give you and Johnny a chance to be, to do a little stepping.
Mr. Warren, I haven't seen Johnny in 3 weeks. He just walked out of my life, said he'd phone the next day, but he never did. Guess I scared him away.
How could you do that?
I told him I loved him.
Well, it's almost kind of hard to tell how that'll affect a man. But I thought Johnny was pretty set on you.
He hasn't phoned and he hasn't written. So I guess that's that.
Excuse me, Miss Brown. Mrs. Patterson's on the telephone. You can take it in here.
Mrs. Patterson? Yes?
Is this Linda Brown?
Yes, Mrs. Patterson.
I was wondering if you wouldn't join us for dinner tonight, my dear.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, but I'm afraid I couldn't make it.
We'll make it a late dinner if that'll be more convenient.
I'm afraid it's quite impossible, Mrs. Patterson.
I'm asking you as a special favor, Linda.
All right. You win. I'll be there for dinner.
That's John on the table. He tells me you have the mate.
Yes, I have.
You know, I sent him out to find a pair for me. When he came home, he said he'd met such a beautiful girl, he couldn't resist giving her one.
Oh?
Look here, Linda. My son seems to think I've been persecuting you. He calls it gunning for you. But that isn't so. Why, if you were one of my own daughters, I'd feel the same way about it. You're a leader of young people in this town, and as such, you have a responsibility. There are certain things no girl can get away with, no matter how smart she is or how hard she works or how loyal her heart is. Romancing with Clem Richards, you are bucking a convention that's older than either of us. I'm glad you stopped bucking it, for your own sake and for my son's sake.
You're glad for John... What do you mean?
I'm glad for his sake because Johnny loves you.
You must be mistaken. Johnny hasn't been near me for weeks.
He's been very ill. He went out in the rain and got soaking wet and almost got pneumonia from it.
Pneumonia? But why didn't someone tell me? Is he all right now?
He's standing right behind you. Why don't you ask him yourself?
Johnny. Oh, Johnny.
Hello, darling. The pickle jar and I have been very lonely for you.
So is my pickle jar and me. We didn't know you were ill.
I didn't want anyone to know. I wanted to see what would happen.
Are you satisfied?
Linda, you know the old Merkle place on Cobb Lane beyond Willow Farm? It can be picked up for the mortgage.
Oh, Johnny, you're such an idiot. Can't you see I adore you? If this is a proposal...
The Merkle place is yours in exchange for five little girls.
Oh, that's an awful lot of girls, Johnny.
Well, it's what this town needs. As many little girls as possible, just like you. Didn't we come to that conclusion last night, Mother? Hey, Mother!
She's gone. Your mother's a diplomat, Johnny.
You know, it's time those pickle jars got together on one mantle. Things that are perfectly mated should never be separated. Well, Linda, how about my five little girls? Do I get them?
Well, darling, I'll tell you. You get the marriage license, and then just keep your fingers crossed.
This is Frank Gallup, your host for the evening, bringing down the curtain on tonight's performance of Romance, a program produced each week by Columbia to bring you the great romantic plays and love stories of all time. Romance is produced and directed by Mark Loeb. Music is conducted by Ben Ludlow. The cast tonight included Marion Shockley as Linda Brown, Bill Quinn as Johnny Day, Lane Cordner as Clem Richards, and Reza Royce as Mrs. Patterson. Next week, at the same hour and over many of these stations, we shall bring you another romance. Our play will be My Man Godfrey. Till then, till curtain time next week, this is your host, Frank Gallup, saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.